Hey guys, welcome to It's a Vampire Diaries thing. I'm Sydney.
And I'm Alex, and we're two best friends who met through our Facebook group, which is also called It's a Vampire Diaries Thing.
If you'd like, you guys can join the group for updates on this podcast and also fun games and discussions about the Vampire Diaries and both spin-offs, the originals and legacies as well.
I didn't sleep with Damon because of the sire bond. I slept with Damon because I'm in love with him.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of It's a Vampire Diaries Thing. As always, we just want to remind you that you can follow our Facebook group, and now we also have an Instagram. They're both called It's a Vampire Diaries Thing. There's links to the Instagram for our Facebook group and for the podcast, and we will also be putting up the Instagram link on our Facebook page if you already are a member of that. So last week, we kind of ended with Carol's death. So Klaus had killed Carol because Tyler had decided to teach all the rest of the hybrids how to break the sire bond. So now that Carol's dead, obviously Mystic Falls does not have a mayor. So Bonnie's father, who has never been seen before, I think we should start there, decides that he's going to be the new mayor.
Yeah, what is his profession prior? I don't know anything
He was
about
like
this
a
man.
traveling like salesman from what I remember, like in pharmaceuticals.
God, I love this for him. What a step
Right.
up. I don't understand, but all right, we're here for it.
Yes, as far as I remember, that's what he did. And now he's starting to like show concern for Bonnie about her like being involved with all this supernatural stuff. But sir, where were you whenever she was like dying a couple seasons ago?
I don't. He's literally been MIA this entire time. I didn't even know that Bonnie had parents other than like Grams and like her mom.
Right.
That's just like now in her life. So I'm like, who is taking care of her now? In the beginning, though, we heard one thing about her father, and it was what Graham said, and it was that her dad never wanted her like to hang out with Grams that much because because she's like all into this magic stuff. So it's like.
And it made it seem like he thought that Grams was kind of like cuckoo for believing in magic, but now that he's married, he clearly already knew about all this supernatural stuff. So, I mean, it's
Acting like
possible that
his
he
daughter
didn't.
isn't a Bennett witch and it's not just gonna like come out. Like, what are you doing, sir? Chill out.
So now we also have, after his name is Rudy, by the way, which I find hilarious. Not that there's anything wrong with the name Rudy, it's just he doesn't look like a Rudy to
Was gonna
me.
say, all the Rudies listening to this right now are like, okay, I see you. I see
Yes,
you.
not that there's
Yep.
anything wrong with that name. He just is not like a Rudy to me. But now that we have all that going on with Bonnie and her father, he's going to be the new mayor. He's obviously concerned about what Bonnie's getting into. We have Rebecca and April who are trying to get Elena to talk to Rebecca, and they kind of trap Elena in the library. And then,
Which
they call.
I'm gonna say, like, I haven't had one negative thing to say about April, but right now none of this concerns her. Like, she kind of like is in the picture because she undaggered Rebecca. Okay, she's her friend. Okay, but like, she's now putting herself in the middle of this, like acting like people owe these explanations and this, and now she's like, you need to talk to so and so. Like, I'm sorry, April, do you even know like what is actually happening
I
right
think
now?
that April just wanted to be involved in something. She obviously lost both her parents. She's probably very lonely. I think she just wants to be involved in something.
Now maybe I'm just a bitch, but if that were the
Well,
case,
you
I'm like,
are.
well, let's say I'm like in Elena's position, I would turn, look at April and go, what the hell does any of this have to do with you? Can like
Right.
you go
I
home?
agree. And I mean, she has known Elena for many, many years. Like, Elena used to babysit her, like she said. Like, it's not like she just doesn't know who Elena is, and Rebecca's like, oh, well, this weird bitch daggered me or was the reason I was daggered, so let's go get her. And
Yeah, I
April's
love
like,
that
okay.
April's like team Rebecca right now over the people that she's known for like ever.
And I
She's like,
mean, I will
yes.
say that April is angry because everybody else has been lying to her besides Rebecca. So I can understand her also being a little bit frustrated, but at the same time, like, why are you getting involved in all this vampire business, as Grams would say, whenever you're clearly human, and what are you gonna do?
It's one of those situations that she doesn't know enough about yet to put herself in the middle. So, like, I'm thinking human wise, okay, Matt's human, But Matt's also been around this now for quite a couple seasons and kind of knows the gist of everything. April is just now finding out, and she's putting herself in the middle of a very dangerous game. You know what I mean? Like, girl, you better watch yourself, okay?
Right, I completely agree. And plus, like, being on Rebecca's side, not all the time, but a lot of the time means that you're going to end up on Klaus's side, which is not a side that I would want anything to do with.
Yeah, absolutely. April. Oh, girl. Oh, no. So here we go, right? We're gonna start just picking at things now. Here we go with them. Jesus.
So now, you know, Stefan is called there to rescue Elena, and he also calls Caroline. So now they both get tricked, and everybody's locked into the library. But Rebecca lets April leave. So obviously she didn't want her to see whatever was about to happen, which would honestly be a red flag for me if I was April. I'd be like, so what are you going to do to them that you don't want me to be around for, type of thing?
Yeah, right. I'd be scared.
Right. I'd be like, maybe I'm going to stay.
It's like, and, you know what, a real quick, like, comparison, like, you ever, like, have a friend over when you were younger, and, like, you're, like, mom wouldn't yell at you around the friends, you know what I mean? That's April. If April would have stayed around, maybe Rebecca would have been nicer.
Right. And so now Rebecca is just playing this kind of like twisted game with them, because she's obviously just like mad at everybody.
I just hate this so much.
I know you hate this scene. And she gets Elena to admit that the reason why she slept with Damon is not because of the sire bond, it's because she's in love with him. And obviously this hurts Stefan a lot. And, you know, it's just an effective way to torment him at this point. Like, Rebecca's just angry with everybody. So she's just trying to hurt anybody's feelings that she can. But I actually said this on a post recently. Somebody asked, like, how did you feel about Rebecca doing this? Do I think it was right? No. Do I think that Stefan would have believed that Elena's feelings for Damon were real unless she was compelled? Also, no. I don't think that he thought her feelings for him were real at this point. And I think that that finally put that in his head, because she was obviously compelled to say exactly what she felt.
So it was I could see it from a standpoint like that, because the thing is that conversation needed to happen in order for anybody to move forward, especially Stefan being so like hurt over this still. There's, you know, there's a part in one of these episodes in this little area where, you know, Caroline calls Stefan and she's like in a panic and she's like, you missed our like mandatory assembly. Okay, like, as if anybody actually goes to those. Okay, right. She's like, you missed our mandatory assembly, and he's like, yeah, well, I'm in my mandatory drinking alone party, and he's sitting in the Mr. Grill, and you can just see that he's just like, he's drinking to death. First of all, Stefan doesn't do that, and you can see that there's something wrong. So I feel like with this conversation happening, it needed to happen so he could kind of grasp it and make it easier for him to move on.
I think it gives him more closure so that he can start to move on himself at that point, because obviously now he knows that, like, she's not just, you know, feeling she's having for because of the sire bond. So I mean, at least he knows now for sure.
The one thing that I hate about it though is, well, actually two things I hate about it is that, one, it was Rebecca that did this, as if this doesn't concern her at all. But like you said, she's in one of her fits of rage where everybody, if she's miserable, everybody else is going to be miserable. And the other thing that I don't like about it is he right now doesn't think that that's a thing. He hasn't thought about that like that. He just thinks that this is done, and it's the sire bond, and this is that and the other, and that this brought out the truth. But I feel like this is a conversation that needed to happen on Elena's end anyway, though. I feel like Elena kind of owed him,
and Elena knew that she loved Damon regardless of sire bond or not. She knew it.
If she's compelled to say it, she's thought it. It's there. It's real. So, like, that's why I'm, like, kind of a little disappointed that, like, she wasn't more upfront, which brings me back to the same conversation about wishing that she was more upfront with Matt. When she had broken up with Matt, she didn't make it clear. She just made excuses. Right.
And I agree. I feel like she always needed better communication in ways to at least give people closure, because I don't think Matt ever really got that closure from her either.
Yeah.
Because she kind of just started dating Stefan, and then he was like, well, I guess that's the end of everything then.
And she expected the same thing to happen with Stefan, that she was going to start dating Damon, and that's just that. That's the end of everything, right? And I feel like that's a very kind of yucky
I feel like it's cycle. An immature way to deal with things. And now I try to remember that, like, these are still teenagers, and whenever I was younger, I probably didn't handle situations like this the best either. But at the same time, like, specifically Stefan and Damon have obviously been around for a long time, like, they're obviously a lot more mature. Like, I feel like you had to start having more grown-up conversations.
I feel things. Like, I mean, think about some of the things that they go through in the show. This isn't a typical life of a typical teenager,
right?
I feel like a lot of these kids, actually, especially Elena included, not having any parental figure like that, except partially Alaric and partially Jenna. Before, I mean, like, in this phase, you know, her parents died, she's losing everybody around her. She was forced to grow up very quickly. And I feel like in that sense that, like, with the things that they go through and experience on a daily basis, that it almost forces them to grow up faster. So I just expected a little more out of it.
Yeah, but, like, absolutely.
So, like, at the end of the day, I'm glad that it happened. I hated seeing the look on his face. He was like, oh, fuck, dude.
Right. No,
that sucks. Right. But, like, it needed to happen. I just wish it happened differently.
Yeah, I agree. And so then, meanwhile, we have Matt and Damon, who are still trying to train Jeremy to, like, expand this hunter's mark. So, like, they're at the lake house. They're taking care of him at this point. And you can see Damon getting a little bit frustrated because all Jeremy and Matt want to do is order pizza and, like, play video games.
Okay, but, like, a whole mood, though.
Right. Okay. Like, that's what they want to do. And they keep ordering this pizza because they think that the delivery girl is cute. And I think that Damon is just like, what the hell am I even doing out here at this point? Like, obviously nothing is going anywhere. We don't have any vampires to kill. And that's whenever Klaus shows up. And Klaus is very impatient, but Damon is very angry with Klaus for killing Carol. Because while, you know, we obviously see Damon and Liz's friendship more, Damon was also friends with Carol, and he actually ends up shooting Klaus a couple times and tells him that, like, this is for Carol, which, you know, I kind of appreciated that, because other than that, as far as I can remember in the show, there was no consequences for Klaus killing Carol. I mean, he was threatening Tyler's life. He obviously really didn't care, and I mean, that's the only time we see anybody really stand up for the fact that he did kill somebody that meant a lot to a lot of people. Like, Carol might not have been the best person in the world, and, you know, she was very judgmental, but I mean, she at least tried. And
no, and like, that's like, again, with a separate season one Carol Lockwood to season two Carol Lockwood. When Carol Lockwood found out about Tyler and everything, she was so more open and everything like that. There's honestly no difference between her and Liz, except the fact that Liz got more screen time. Yeah. I think that if, like, Carol was around, it would have been better. So people always, like, remember her as, like, that's what happens when you bring the trash to the party. Like, that's what they think when they think Carol. They don't think,
yeah,
about,
because she did not get a lot of screen time other than, like, her being a bitch and then her either getting tortured by Klaus or, in this instance, getting killed by him.
Yeah, so, like, you have to keep in mind that she still did things to, like, try to help Tyler and Caroline and shit, too, that's, like, overlooked a lot. So I'm like, it is upsetting that Carol did die, and, like, it's just, like, not talked about anymore.
And, like, I also am kind of upset that we never got to see, like, Liz's reaction to this. Like, I don't believe there was ever any sort of reaction from Liz. Obviously, I'm sure she said something about, like, she was sad or whatever. But, like, we never get to see her, like, actually be, like, upset about this or anything like that. And, I mean, Liz and Carol were pretty close friends. I mean, their children were dating. They were on the council together even before, you know, Stefan and Damon got to town. So, I mean, I'm sure there was a friendship there. And
absolutely.
It's sad because other than that, like, Liz has Damon. Like, that's about the only other friend that she really has. And so I did feel bad for her as well. Now, you know, Klaus is just like, okay, whatever, about killing Carol and Damon shooting him. He doesn't even really get mad about it. He's just like, alrighty. Anyway, he says that he's going to get vampires for Jeremy to kill. And Damon's kind of like, I don't think that's a good idea. But, you know, Klaus doesn't care what Damon thinks, as seen multiple times throughout the show. And Klaus actually ends up turning that pizza delivery girl that Matt and Jeremy think is attractive. And she ends up attacking them because obviously she's just a freshly turned vampire. And Jeremy actually ends up having to kill her. And
traumatizing.
I'm going to say this because I know everybody's going to hate me, but I don't really like Klaus. And I think this is part of the reason why. Is because with Carol, with this pizza delivery girl who did nothing wrong, he just doesn't have any remorse for these people. Like, he just doesn't care, at least at this point in the Vampire Diaries. I will say, you know, in the originals, he does start to feel something for the way that he acted, which is a different story altogether. But I mean, at least at this point, like, he just doesn't care what he has to do to get what he wants. And I think that bothers me a lot. Because, I mean, we have Damon who does do a lot of, you know, messed up things in the show. And a lot of times they are to his favor. But he feels bad about it. And so I think that that's really what ends up frustrating me. Is that, like, he just doesn't care. He's just he doesn't really have any regard for human life at all.
He doesn't. I don't think he does whatsoever. Honestly, everything is his own ulterior motive, and on top of it is a lot of things that vampires do that's bad. This is regarding Damon, this is regarding Stefan, this is regarding, you know, everybody will always say, like, no matter what character you like, they did something wrong. This is something that is always talked about, but I'm gonna fucking pinpoint something that's very important, that a lot of these bad things that these characters have done, they've done with their humanity off. Klaus. Correct. I don't even know if originals can turn their humanity off. I
look this up because we talked about it in another episode, and apparently they lose their ability to do so over time. So no, he's not able to.
So that's what I'm saying, is this is all free-willed mind. This is Klaus. This is Klaus Michelson. This is who he is as a person. You see Damon, you know, hold on to a little bit of humanity here, you know, even through some of the things he does. Like, he could have killed Vicky on that roof, and did he? No. There's still a few things that he'll hold on to that, like, show him he's a decent person. Like, sure, Klaus has saved Caroline here and there, but that's Caroline. You know what I mean? He's never
actually. And he only did that for his own selfish reasons, in my opinion. He just wants Caroline to like him. So
that's what I'm saying. When he's had to team up with them, it's because he wants his own thing out of it. It has nothing to do with him actually wanting to help anybody, literally at all. And I feel like the only time he's decent, like, morally, is when it comes to Caroline, and that's just because that's Caroline, and I don't feel that that's okay. But other than that, everything he's doing is 100% will-minded. That's him. And all these other characters that are doing all these bad things and shit, their humanity is off. Not that it's an excuse, but, like, you don't have feelings. Klaus feels like he has his humanity off 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we have, you know, Bonnie and Professor Creepy, because I just never liked him even in the beginning, before we knew he was doing anything shady. And he is giving her this, like, amulet that's apparently made from human bone, which I don't understand. And Bonnie actually ends up getting ready to walk out, and she notices Cole walk past her. And Cole ends up, you know, kidnapping Shane and taking him to the school library. So now everybody is pretty much in the school. And back in the library, you know, we see Rebecca's still kind of toying with everybody. And she ends up calling Tyler and telling him that he needs to come rescue his friends. Now at this point, I'm like, Rebecca isn't just calling a rescuer for, you know, fun. Like,
no, she obviously why would has she a do plan that? Yeah, absolutely.
Mind. And then Cole gets there. Obviously, he brings in Shane, and he's torturing him for the location of this cure. And Shane ends up telling Cole and Rebecca about Silas. Now, this is the first time that we hear about Silas in the entire series. He talks about how Silas can resurrect people who died. Yeah, a little bit. He talks about how, like, he wants to release him. And Rebecca's like, no, I don't think so. Like, there's nobody who can resurrect people who have passed, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Cole, like, starts drowning Shane and, like, impaling him. But Bonnie actually ends up putting this protection spell on Shane. But however, it, like, backfires, like, accidentally. And anything that's happening to Shane ends up happening to April. And I just, I know that we talked a little bit about this before we started. I think this is a very clear sign that whatever magic Shane is teaching Bonnie is clearly not good. We have the human bone. We have this spell taking away pain from one person but giving it to another. And I think that it's just further, you know, proving the point that expression magic isn't a good thing.
Now, what weirds me out is I feel like these are completely different spells. So like, how does that happen? But then on top of it, where has April been this entire time? Is she just floating around the school? How did Bonnie link it to her? Was she like in the picture?
She I don't was know, with Bonnie. Yeah. Like she ended up with Bonnie.
She's like, you're a witch. Yeah. My thing is, it's like super fucking weird is I feel like they're completely different spells. Like, I feel like it isn't just Bonnie isn't like, you know, the genie from like I Dream of Genie who could just snap her finger and like something happens. Like, I feel like she's always chanting some sort of like mantra or spell or something. And I'm like, how does that actually like even fucking work? But of all people, like April, like that sucks. Now that also takes me back to my point of April, get the fuck out of here, please. Jesus.
Yes. Like, if she just doesn't realize what she's getting into. And now while this all is going on, Tyler actually comes to school and Rebecca compels him to turn himself into a werewolf. So, you know, now Tyler's turning, he's telling all of his friends to run for it. We finally know that Rebecca was just planning on, did she intend for anybody to die? Like, I feel like she always does this. She like wants people to like die or something, but then whenever somebody actually gets gravely injured or is about to die, she's like, you know what? I actually changed my mind. Like the same thing with Elena, whenever she helped her get the blood, like you just wanted Elena to die. Like,
that's my thing is she's even like this in a little bit of the originals that I've watched, is she's so wishy-washy all the time.
Yeah, and she's very impulsive about everything.
I never know what her intentions are ever, or like what she really truly feels sometimes. And it's like, it can be very frustrating at times. And another question that I wanted to ask you is, obviously Professor Shane can do it. Bill Forbes could do it. Why are we not all practicing to resist compulsion, especially after this? And I'll tell you why. If she's literally trapping these fucking vampires in a room and telling Tyler to turn where he is going to kill them, okay, why don't after that point, after surviving this, why don't we all sit down and say, okay, wow, we need to really find a way to fucking
resist compulsion? Why aren't we all taking vervain? Catherine was.
She was too. She
Damon
was
fucking, did for a while.
I don't get it. Whether that or whether it's this practice compulsion thing or taking vervain or something, I would be on the ball with this, especially being in a situation where Tyler almost killed me. Like,
exactly.
That's when shit's starting to get real. And like, I feel like they never try to practice that or focus on that. Like, it's talked about so much. Like, Atticus Shane can't be compelled. Oh my God. Oh, Bill Forbes can't be compelled. Wow. Catherine. Wow. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So why don't we figure something out then?
Yeah. Like, you'd think, you know, but nope. Clearly not. We're just going to put our lives at risk and stand here in front of Tyler. I love it. All right.
Right. And so then while they're like running away, Stefan actually ends up finding April and Bonnie, and he manages to like obviously give April some vampire blood, and he tells Bonnie that like she needs to get April out of here. You know, Tyler's on the loose. Who knows what Rebecca's true plan with April is? I mean, she did tell her to leave, but at this point I still don't trust that Rebecca's really friends with April. I think
I was gonna say, what if something happened? Like, do you not care as a friend if something were to happen to April right now? Like, seriously? I don't know.
I don't think she did at this point. I do think a little bit later on they actually do become friends, but at this point I think April's just a means to an end for her. She knew that she could trick Elena with April, and so I just think that's her mindset. And then Tyler actually ends up turning back into human form, and he's very upset, and he just says that he blames himself for like everything, like his mom dying, everything that's going on.
Because I remember this. And what happened was, prior in this episode, we did have Carol's funeral. And at the funeral, like, Tyler just gets up and walks out, but he's not really showing any sadness. He's very blocked. He's not like breaking down. He's not having like any like feelings towards it or anything like this. It just seems like he's just fed up with everything. And like, when he did turn back into human form, he completely did like melt down. That was the first time you like saw him just like lose it, because like we didn't before. So it was kind of like a big deal that it's all starting to hit him.
Really the first time we've ever seen Tyler show that kind of emotion either. I mean, we
not even after his dad died.
Pain, but yeah, be like sad and, you know, self-loathing like that.
He definitely feels like it's his fault because all this shit with, I mean, you know, getting the hybrids to turn against Klaus and everything like that. Like, it's a domino effect, and that's just, this is what had happened. Like, he thought but he was I doing. I
think, in my personal opinion, this was not Tyler's fault. This was Haley's fault. In my opinion, she was the one who was working with Shane. She knew that the hybrids needed to be killed, and she did what she had to do to get it there, and that's the reason that Carol died at the end of the day.
That is very true. That is very true. I feel like he's just, it's hitting him like a fucking train, that like, it's just like this, it's just surrounding him. It's hurting everybody he cares about and shit. Like, that's his, like, mom. You know what I mean? It just hits so different. And I feel like, yeah, a lot of people dislike him and shit, but, like, you got to think about it for a second here. It's, like, that's really messy, and that's really shitty, and especially thinking that you're at the hands of it. Like, I'd feel like absolute dog shit, you know?
Absolutely. And so then we have Rebecca, who is still on her little rampage, and she actually finds Alina and Stefan again, and she offers to erase Stefan's memories of Alina. And at this point, did you think he was going to say yes before you knew what happened?
Maybe. You know, I don't know if I thought too much into it, but I will say, with how hectic this episode is, I wouldn't have doubted it. Because a lot of shit is happening, and it's really, like, coming out, and it's just like, holy crap. And the thing is, like, I feel like it would help him, obviously, but at the same time, it's kind of one of those situations where you don't want to forget your ex or those memories or things like that. So I don't know if he would have wanted to, but if he felt enough pain in that moment, I could have seen it. I think so. I think I could have if he felt enough pain.
Right.
But you always kind of want to hold on to those memories and stuff anyways, even if the breakup ended bad, because, like, in some parts of the relationship, it was good and, like, shit like that, you know?
Right. And then, like, he does end up saying yes. And then Rebecca's like, laughs in his face, basically. And is like, no, I was just kidding. Like, I want you to be in pain. And I
which
just
is awful, because, right, like, she's very, like, out for Stefan right now. And I'm like,
yeah,
wow. Like, because if you think about it, with Alina having to admit that she was in love with Damon, it probably still hurt her too, because she's not that type of person. She doesn't want to hurt Stefan. So it probably hurt Alina, but at the end of the day, he was the real target here. So now I'm like, okay, Rebecca, what's the beef? Let's talk about it. Because I swear to God, yeah, right now. Yeah. I swear to God, you're coming for my man, and I'm going to kill you, okay? I'm done. So she is very vividly picking on him and really trying to rip him down to the core. And I thought that was pretty fucking low.
I agree. And then we kind of move to the end of the episode. And this is something that has always struck me as very strange every single time I watch it. April ends up going to Liz and Ruby and telling them that she knows about Supernatural and everybody lying and everything, and she's going to figure out what's going on. And
I feel like a dick, but, like, congratulations. Do you want a cookie? Like, I feel like a dick saying that, but, like, right, what did that, like, do
I
for
didn't
you?
Understand what the point was. Like, I mean, she does talk a little bit about how she's going to figure out what happened to her dad and all that. And I'm just like, okay, like, what are you going to do? You're human. You're, like, 16 years old from what I remember. And so you're just going to, I don't know, do what? Like, I didn't understand.
Saying. You want a cookie? Congrats. I don't know. We've all been dealing with it. Join the club. I don't know what you want us to do.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't understand that at all.
It's, no, whatever, April, go off.
And speaking of only being 16 years old, real quick, I'm trying not to get too far off track, but why the hell is Jeremy at school? Like, what excuse did they use? Because he's been at this lake house for, like, a little while at this point, I believe.
School is not a thing for any of them, okay? No. And all the crazy shit happens at the school. Everything happens at the school but learning.
Okay? Exactly. Yeah.
Everything happens at the school but learning. We don't learn, okay? No.
So then we have Alina calling Damon. And she basically tells him that, you know, sire bond or not, she loves him. She wants to be with him. And he ends up telling her, you know, meet me at the lake house and, you know, we'll talk about this. And so obviously she's going to go do that. And then Rebecca comes. Now, this is something that I want your opinion on because I didn't know how to take it. And Rebecca actually goes to Stefan and says that she still wants the cure so she can use it on Klaus. And Stefan ends up agreeing to help her. Now, in your opinion, was Stefan just bullshitting her because he still wanted the cure for Elena? Or at this point, do you think that he just does want the cure to give to Klaus?
I think that everything with Elena just shut the fuck down, because there's a scene in All of That Myths where they talk for a second and she's just like, maybe it isn't in that mist, maybe it's later, but I'm going to say it now, where she's just taken back by what he's saying to her and he just doesn't give a fuck, and she's like shocked or something, and yeah. He looks at her and he says, you just don't know what I look like when I'm not in love with you, meaning I just let the fuck go, get off my back, I don't owe you shit. And that's what that was. And I feel like he needed to kind of progress that sort of anger, because that's not an emotion he's really
showing towards Elena. It does happen later, whenever actually Elena finds out that he slept with Rebecca. But yes, I agree that it also applies to the situation as well.
Yes, it's one of those situations that he needed to kind of progress anger and like express that to her, because it's not an emotion that he's had with her yet. A big thing of it is at this point, after hearing that, I think he is more angry now than he is sad, because he almost, I feel like he thinks that he's like a fool for not seeing it, or what it is. He's probably feeling 1,000 different things. I think he's more angry. So I feel like him teaming up with Rebecca, even though Rebecca just completely ripped his heart out, I don't even know if he wants to give the cure to anybody, even Klaus. I feel like he's just in it for this, keep me fucking busy, give me a hobby, we'll fucking give it to Klaus, I don't give a shit, I'm sick of his shit, I'm sick of all this shit, let's just fucking do it. Like, I right. feel like it's just this I don't give a fuck attitude, whether the cure's in whoever's hands, he just doesn't give a fuck. This is a new hobby, he's got to think, you know, of what's going to keep him occupied right now and away from like all the shit with Elena and Damon and everything like that. That I think he's just kind of floating wherever he's kind of floating right now, because it's just out of like anger and trying to distract himself.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that. I will say, I know that you love Stefan. Some of my issue with him specifically saying that, and the scene where he seemingly agrees to help Rebecca, is that he acted so mature about everything before he found out about the sire bond. So why is this anger here now?
So the bad thing about that, because to a sense, I agree, because the bad thing about that, again, is lack of honesty, I feel like. I feel like he wasn't being upfront about how he really was feeling before. So while he's being mature, he's thinking about what's coming out of his mouth and looks good in that moment. But I guarantee that some of the things that he said to her about his feelings or how the whole situation is going on wasn't honest. I feel like he kind of sugarcoated it in a sense to look like the good guy, because that's supposed to be Stefan. Stefan's the good guy. And I feel like he kind of bullshat it and like worded it in a sense that's like, yeah, no, I swear, yeah, we're good. I mean, which kudos to him for holding composure if that's the case. And he did try to just come off mature. But at the same time, it's like, you should have been honest from the get, just like Elena should have been honest from the get, and everybody should have just been honest.
Yeah.
But I feel like now it's just like hearing it just made him snap. Like, he's like,
I think maybe it was that hope being taken away from him again, because he did think, okay, if we can get rid of this sire bond, if she can become human again.
He was holding on to that, I think, too. Let's still find her the cure.
I think once now he kind of realizes that it doesn't matter if she's human or a vampire, she's still going to love Damon. And
that's because that's the thing is, it hasn't been said. So he could think and assume all he wants, but it hasn't been said. So while he's like saying these mature things and doing these mature things, it hasn't actually outright come out yet that I am in love with Damon. So while he is probably thinking in the back of his head, it hasn't actually been said yet. So he can't really like go off of it, but hearing it, he probably spiraled and shit. And I think that maybe he just wasn't being as honest and like expressing his worries as much as he should have been.
Right. So then right at the very end, we see Klaus. He calls Damon, Matt, and Jeremy to this bar, and he has turned everybody in this, I mean, fairly full bar into vampires. And he's like, oh, well, everybody's changing, you know. Then we go to the next episode, and Jeremy's like, I'm not killing these people. Like, they didn't do anything wrong. And Klaus is basically like, okay, well, then I'll just make them attack Matt. So, Jeremy, you're going to have to kill them or they're going to kill Matt. And at this point, Matt and Jeremy are pretty close. They've been chilling at this lake house, playing video games, doing whatever. And obviously, he doesn't want Matt to get hurt. And since the new vampires are all going to smell like Matt's blood because, you know, Klaus injures him and they're obviously going to attack him, him and Jeremy, you know, try to escape. Now, this is another instance where I'm just like, Klaus just does not have any regard for any of these people. He doesn't care if Matt dies. Yeah,
this is my thing, is that maybe if he was a little more, like, you know, genuine and, like, wasn't a dick, I feel like he could get places farther. Like, you cannot expect these people to help you. Like, they only help him or do what they say because they're being threatened to. Like, I feel like if there's a situation where Klaus were to, like, reach out and, like, figure something out and was not a dick in threatening people and putting people's lives in danger and not giving a fuck, like, I feel like this could benefit him and almost make him a better character. And I'm getting really frustrated because it's something with him constantly. And I'm going to say this, and I've said it 1,000 times. I hate that Julie Plec kept making him the villain after the villain after the villain after the villain, because my God, it is so fucking, like, it's a continuous cycle that I'm getting so sick and tired of. I'm at this point, how many seasons with him in it? I'm like, we're in the 3rd season with him in the show. Why aren't we seeing any fucking progression? Because there's none. Literally none. We've gotten progression from Damon. We've gotten progression from Caroline. We've gotten progression from Bonnie, Stefan coming back from Ripper mode. Why aren't we getting that with Klaus? And I'm getting really sick and tired of it because it's repetitive and it's old. And I will
say that we have seen some of Klaus's background, and I do think he does deserve some sort of redemption. I mean, am I ever going to forgive him for everything that he did? No. But he deserves something. And I mean, I know we don't end up seeing it till the originals, but it just took so long. Like, why can't we just,
like, 3 seasons in with the same repetitive villain? At this point, we have to see some sort of growth. And I'm really upset that, like, he didn't choose to, like, work alongside them for some reason. Like, I would have preferred that outcome than him still fucking try this goddamn tiring bullshit, because it's like, I feel like I'm getting really heated. I swear to God. But, like, it's very repetitive. And like I said, we've seen it with Damon and Caroline, and everybody has had some sort of growth, even if it's a little bit. And I'm like, well, where the fuck is Klaus is? Because at this point, you also have to think about it. That's traumatizing as fuck to 16-year-old Jeremy.
Yeah,
and I'm going to say it now. Imagine looking at a room full of fucking 20-some vampires and you're supposed to kill every single one of them. That is traumatizing. I mean,
Jeremy's killed maybe 1 or 2, 3 at the most vampires. Like, how are you supposed to kill 20 vampires that are all coming after you at once?
Physically and emotionally, that's got to be hard. And I don't think that it's okay. And I'm like,
and very, especially, like, that you know that these people are innocent people. Like, they didn't do anything.
Because I can promise you too, it's like, usually in the show, when somebody turns into a vampire, they get the chance to be explained what's happening to them.
Yeah, they still all have these no
vampires
idea.
Have no idea, no fucking clue what's happening to them or why they're feeling this way or why they want to literally attack everybody with a pulse. They don't get it.
Exactly.
And it's like so shitty. You're right. I mean, they were normal people. Imagine it. They were probably all in the bar enjoying their fine afternoon. Okay. And then here comes this. Klaus goes, oh, hey, guys.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, they didn't ask for any of this. So while they're, Matt and Jeremy are running from these vampires, Lena actually ends up showing up, and they end up getting inside. Right. They end up getting inside the lake house. And obviously, these vampires can't enter because they haven't been invited in. So they're safe for the moment. And now here's something that kind of makes me angry. The next day, Elena only kind of scolds Damon for using, like we said, innocent people. But he didn't. And that's my issue, is that why does she always assume that it was just him? He was like, oh yeah, I just went here, killed all these people, no big deal. Like, especially if that's the person that you love, like, you don't think you would give them an opportunity to explain themselves?
Especially with him offering to even be there with Jeremy in the first place. I wouldn't think that there's any bad ulterior motive behind it. I agree. And especially with Klaus being involved in this, like, I immediately would just be pissed at Klaus and project my anger at Klaus.
What did she think was going to happen?
Yeah, she says these innocent people. Okay, what? Let's break into a prison real quick and then kill them. And
exactly. Then what kill vampires them? Did she think that Damon was going to end up giving Jeremy? I don't know. That just made me mad. And then she says that, like, you know, the vampires are going to come back soon. And Damon's basically like, yeah, well, Jeremy's going to have to kill them. Like, they're being controlled by Klaus. They're going to try to kill Jeremy. They're going to try to kill Matt. They're going to try to kill us. And at the end of the day, if Jeremy kills these vampires, the tattoo grows and we're closer to the cure. So what do you want me to do now? They're already vampires. Like, there's nothing else you can do about that at this point.
Yeah, Elena, are you going to sit down and train every 20-some vampires to be good human beings of society? I would love to see it.
Exactly. And so, you know, back in Mystic Falls, we have Rebecca and Stefan still, you know, coming up with their little plan. And they know that they need Silas's headstone to find the cure. And so they plan on actually stealing it from Shane and basically forcing Shane to join them. And so they are like, we got to do this. And now Bonnie and Shane are together at this point. And Shane kind of tells Bonnie that, you know, you're in control, everything's fine. And Liz actually ends up showing up and arresting him.
Oh, yeah, she does.
And, you know, it's just because that, you know, the information they got from April, I believe, led to this. Then, you know, Bonnie's father said that, you know, he feels uncomfortable about this guy hanging around his daughter, who is underage at this point. Like, I would be concerned, too, if my underage daughter was hanging out with some professor from a university. Like, I don't think I would be like, you know what, this is shady to me as well.
Yeah, I don't know who this man is. Like, even if Bonnie's dad isn't in the picture as much as you would think, when it comes to somebody who's getting arrested and this grown man's around my kid, best believe as a parent I would be freaking out too. I think right. It's justified and warranted, and it makes complete sense to me. And I can get why Bonnie is like frustrated with her dad too in all of this, because she isn't fully understanding it. She doesn't know what's really happening. So she's like taking it out on him. But like realistically, like he is really just truly looking out for her, because this fucking guy is bad news.
Exactly. And so then we kind of are jumping around a little bit in this episode. So we go back to Damon and Jeremy, and they end up going back to this bar. They actually find all the vampires dead, and Cole has killed them. And this is kind of whenever we start to get a little bit of an idea of what Silas is possibly capable of. Cole tells Jeremy and Damon that about 200 years ago, he killed a Silas-worshipping cult. Now, at this point, I'm like, this man has a whole cult? Like, you know,
yeah, maybe like he's something kind we of don't want to fuck deal.
With. Yeah. Right. And he basically tells them that, like, he does not want Silas to reawaken. He doesn't want to deal with this. And he tries to tear Jeremy's arms off to, like, avoid, like, this.
Now, I will say this is, like, I get where Cole's coming from. Poor Jeremy, even though, whatever. But, like, what has Cole Michelson, an original vampire, so scared?
And he had to have seen something. Now, all the information we really get is that, like, there was a cult that worshipped him. He just doesn't want to fuck with it. But, I mean, I feel like even in this case, I don't know if we ever find out, but he just seemed like he knew more than he was letting on. That
it I don't think we ever find out because what yeah. happens to him, obviously. But, like, yeah. this man is terrified of Silas. Whoever the fuck Silas is enough to scare the shit out of Cole Michelson, and that says a lot.
Exactly. And, you know, Damon ends up attacking Cole and lets Jeremy escape because obviously he doesn't want Jeremy's arms to get ripped off.
Yeah, that's a no for me too.
Yeah. And so then we go back to the jail and Bonnie is talking to her father. And, you know, obviously Rudy here has learned some more information about Professor Shane than really any of us knew. And he kind of tells her that, you know, Shane manipulates weak-minded people. Now, in my opinion, Bonnie is not a weak-minded person, and I felt like it was kind of ignorant for her father to say that to her.
And she definitely expressed it. I remember her snapping right back, and she goes, let me go in there, or am I too weak-minded? I was like, ooh, girl, tell your father.
Yes, okay, like, off. I'm sorry, but that's not... First of all, you haven't even been around, so it's really not your place to say anything to her. And second of all, she obviously trusted this man because he was helping her get her magic back, which she had lost before this point.
Yeah. And on top of it too, like, with it all going on like this, another thing that I was thinking about, though, minus the whole Bonnie and her dad drama, but before we move on, so like this is a common thing. So he's like, he manipulates weak-minded people. So like, how many times has this happened? Has he tried to do this with other witches and it just failed?
Yeah.
Like, is this a very common, like, that's what I'm thinking.
And I think this is another storyline that was never fully fleshed out, because I don't think we ever really get a sense of what Shane was doing to other people. Like, we know that he was manipulating Haley. We obviously know that he was manipulating Pastor Young into killing the 12 Founders Council members. Mm-hmm. But is this the first instance of this? Or has he been doing other things in other places that we just don't know about?
That's what I'm saying. What if Bonnie couldn't have been the first witch he maybe came across? I mean, you know, spoiler alert, his wife was a witch. There's got to be other people surrounding him that he's maybe known and shit, but we never got those answers. But, like, I don't understand. I don't know. And why does this make him a fucking, like, guru of magic? I don't like that either.
I didn't get that either.
Why is he like a, like, okay, I just don't like him. But you know what? Bonnie had every right to walk in that room, because if anybody owes her an explanation as to what the fuck is going on, it's Professor Shane.
And she does go in there, and he actually ends up confessing to Bonnie that he's the reason why the 12 Founders Council members are dead.
I love that. He's just honest. Why did they release him? Can somebody fucking answer me this?
I can in 1 second.
I don't remember this.
We're actually going to skip a couple parts and we'll go back to them. But, you know, Bonnie ends up turning off the interrogation room cameras, and she confronts Shane about, you know, the murders. He tells her that he killed them as part of a ritual, and Silas will resurrect them when he awakens. And Bonnie is just like, dude, you are insane. Like, what are you talking about? And he actually brings up Grams, and he's like, well, you know, Silas can resurrect anybody, so you could see your grandma again. And like, sir, do not bring poor Sheila Bennett into your twisted plan.
I swear to God.
Because you know she's on the other side right now, shaking her goddamn head.
You know it, because, nope.
And Bonnie ends up attacking him with, like, her magic. And now this is why he gets released. He tells her father that Bonnie can either be the most powerful witch on Earth or a ticking time bomb, and she's going to go off, and that he is the only one that can help her. And this is why he ends up getting
fucking stupid. I feel like this is very against the law, and they should have manhunts looking for this man, because he just confessed 12 murders. I'm gonna throw up.
Like, and we know for a fact that he's responsible for all the hybrid, you know, deaths as well. Whether he is a mass one doing murderer. The act,
he's a not. He's a Charles Manson. That's what this is.
Exactly. He's like leading this whole ritualistic killings, and nobody is just like, you know what, we'll get Bonnie some help from a different witch. Somebody has to know other witches that could possibly help her that aren't this man.
He has endless amounts of bloodline, like, relatives. Where are they?
And, I mean, I know that her mother does come, like, I believe in the next episode to, like, you know, do something about what's
family,
going on.
Family talk, yeah.
Right, God. But why do we not call her mother before this? Why don't we call Abby whenever this man is telling her that, you know, Bonnie could possibly be a ticking time bomb? Wouldn't that be cause to call this, to call her mother?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
I don't, like, yeah, stupid.
Yes. And then Lena and Matt end up coming back to Mystic Falls, and they get a call from Jeremy about Cole attacking him, and Cole has taken Damon captured. And now Lena does something that I feel like was the worst plan to have, but I mean, it did kind of work. She calls Klaus and asks him to get Cole to let Damon go, that, you know, they're both looking for the cure. That's what they want. And he does tell Cole, you know, you need to stay away from Jeremy. You need to let Damon go. But Cole isn't falling for this, because he's honestly really scared of Silas. And
he's got his mission in line.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not listening to anybody. Not Klaus, not nobody. It's not happening.
And he actually ends up instead compelling Damon to kill Jeremy. So now at this point, this is only information that Cole, Damon, and obviously the viewers have. Nobody else knows that this is what he decided to do. So we kind of go back to where Rebecca and Stefan are, because obviously this is all connected now. We know that Cole's scared of Silas. They're trying to get Silas's headstone. And while Rebecca and Stefan are looking for this headstone, they kind of start talking about their relationship.
Don't you start with me.
Yes. And I know you love this, you know, how spicy they were.
Oh my Lord.
Yes.
Let me tell you, this is the scene that I'm begging people to make a scene edit for, because oh my Lanta, when I tell you this has no business being as fine as it is. So obviously, you know, they did have their relationship in their 20s and there was some spunk back then. It hasn't really addressed since. Now that also makes me wonder if like that was her way of also sliding in with Stefan, because like you could tell she's the one that hit the moves first. She's really sliding in. So I'm like, oh, did you just do this weird fucky thing with Elena and Stefan so you can swoop in?
Yes, exactly.
Hey Rebecca.
Yeah.
Like, girl, I see you. I see what you're doing, but I'll tell you what, right? She's talking about how things are just better when you stop caring and like who gives a fuck and da 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 da. And Stefan looks at her, ooh, his jaw be clenching and shit. Oh my God. And he says to her, he says, they're talking about their sex life. He says, our sex life wasn't good because we didn't care. Our sex life was good because you were crazy. And I was like, oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. Because I'm going to tell you what right now. Now, when they'd fuck back in the day, yeah, Stefan and I have his humanity off. But I'll tell you what, between the two of them, they are both very, like, they're crazy. They are crazy. Crazy is the best word to describe it.
Yeah.
Literally, imagine that for 2 seconds. You two listeners, imagine Rebecca and Stefan in the sack and tell me that that is not the craziest, insane, like, I'm sorry, out of all of all, like, and I hate saying this, but of all the characters in TVDU, all of them, I feel like Stefan and Rebecca had the best sex life, and I will die on that hill. My fucking God, I will die on that hill. Okay. This is my favorite. Now, I don't ship them romantically at all. I think that that would be the yuckiest fucking relationship I've ever seen in my life. It would be so bad. I feel like Stefan would be in trouble every 5 minutes.
quite like our own boyfriends are in trouble every 5 minutes.
Exactly. It would be very, very much similar. But their sex life, my God, easily my favorite in the entire Vampire Diaries universe. Easily.
Absolutely.
So I'm loving this right now. I'm soaking it up.
This kind of gets interrupted by this random man who just tells them that, oh, hey, the headstone's behind that panel. And they're like, oh, sir, who are you? And
Rebecca, they're trying to on the headstone. Yes. Can you give them some privacy right now?
And Rebecca ends up grabbing him by the throat, and we kind of cut scenes. And we see that Elena goes to see Jeremy, and he's like really trying not to kill her. And then Damon arrives, and he kind of tells Elena that he wants to like make amends to Jeremy. And, you know, Jeremy has already left. So they end up going to the Mystic Grill where Matt and Jeremy are. And Damon kind of goes up to Jeremy, who goes into like this like storage room. And he like wants to hurt him. So now Damon's realizing, because he was compelled to forget this, that Cole wants him to kill Jeremy. So he like tells Elena, you got to keep me away from Jeremy, you know. And Elena's like, oh, what the hell is going on? And, you know, he follows Jeremy down this passageway under the bar. And he's, like, warning Jeremy that, you know, he's been sent to kill him. It's obviously a very stressful scene. And obviously Elena's chasing after them. And she ends up deciding to, you know, call Stefan for help. And Stefan just does not give a fuck. He's like, you know what? That is your, you know, responsibility. I'm sorry, like, this doesn't have anything to do with me.
Well, I'm gonna be honest, I don't blame him. I mean, you gotta think though, the situation is a little yucky, because like
at some point you would like to think that like he had his own separate relationship and friendship with Jeremy.
So that you would my issue with it is that does he just not care about Jeremy?
I like to think that he does value some sort of friendship with Jeremy. I just think, like I said before, that he's in this state of like anger and not giving a fuck. Kind of like the same attitude. Now we don't see it often from Stefan, but kind of almost the same attitude, similar to Damon's when Damon goes off on one of his "I'm pissed, leave me the fuck alone" things.
Laying in the road type benders, yeah.
I love that. That's my favorite thing. I feel like it's just one of those. And I see it from both sides, as fucked up as it is. Like, I don't blame him because, like, oh, now you need my help. Now you need me around. Now this. Like, are you fucking, you've got to be kidding me. That's your man. You deal with your man, right? But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, but, like, fuck Elena. Worry about Jeremy.
Yeah.
So I see it from, like, both. So it's, like, a really yucky, sticky situation.
And so then, you know, she calls him and he says no. And him and Rebecca are still in the study. And Rebecca's kind of torturing this man who we have no idea who this man is. And this man is like killing himself by like biting off his tongue. So now I'm like, who the hell are you? And why are you biting off your tongue? Like, why are you trying to kill yourself? I don't know. It was very suspicious to me because clearly Professor Shane and Rebecca and Stefan and Elena, Damon and Klaus, like Jeremy, they're obviously not the only ones who know about this headstone and this cure that's out there. And so we kind of just are sitting here like, well, how many people do know? And if a lot of people do know, then why has nobody ever went and got the cure? Does nobody ever have the map? Has nobody, you know, it's strange to me.
I was gonna say, because this is all happening at once. Like, this Silas and this cure have been around for thousands of years, and now all of a sudden everybody knows at once. Like, you would think that rumors, especially in vampire world, things get spread and people hear things. It's just how it works, and it's just something I feel like they would have heard about a long time ago. So why is everybody all of a sudden jumping on this like now?
Yeah, exactly. And so then Jeremy ends up getting away from Damon, and he actually ends up shooting him in the head and escaping. And then now we know that Cole has to be stopped so that, you know, he doesn't kill Jeremy, so he don't lose the map. So Rebecca actually ends up meeting Cole and tries to stab him, but Klaus stops her for some reason. And I mean, I want to say it's because he cares about his brother, but I don't think that that's it. I think that he's just in this mood where he's like, well, whatever happens to Jeremy happens, you know, and we're not going to kill our brother over Jeremy Gilbert.
Yeah. That's fucky. That's what I'm saying, is this is all like pick a life over the other. This is what's going on in like the last couple constantly episodes, I feel like. Yes. I'm like, my God, like, I don't like this at all. Anxiety, like, fuck. And I hate that it's just that Jeremy is like the key to everything. Like, the homeboy don't deserve this.
Exactly. And like, I'm glad he's getting a better storyline, but my God. And so then we have like Elena chasing Damon through the forest because he is still on this hunt for Jeremy. And she's trying to tell him, like, just, you know, she's trying to use her feelings for him to just like persuade Damon to ignore the compulsion. And this is a key point for me in all of this, is that she's like, well, Stefan resisted the compulsion, and he very blatantly tells her that he is not Stefan and that this relationship is not going to be like a relationship with Stefan because they're two very different people.
Yeah.
And I feel that he was right to say that. She can't just bring up, oh, well, Stefan could resist compulsion, so you should be able to.
And this is what I'm saying, is why is she so wishy-washy with this shit? Because honestly, you made it clear, okay? Your next chapter of your life has Damon in it, right? Your next chapter has Damon in it. Leave it that way. Because if you keep bringing up the Stefan shit, now you're just hurting Damon. So can you like not? Because like, this is the thing. It's common sense to understand what is said and isn't, that is and isn't respectful. And this is one of those situations that, like, what if she's going to be with Damon? Is it going to be constantly, well, Stefan, with this, well, Stefan, this, Stefan, this, Stefan, this? Because it's like, you're the one that told him this, like, I love Damon, right? He left you. You said you loved me. That's it. And, like, if it was kept throwing back in Damon's face, not only is that a slap in the face to Damon, it's a slap in the face to Stefan, too. The reason why I say that is because you're just, like, you're holding on at this point to something that's the ship sank and it sailed and it sank. You know what I mean? But the constant reminder isn't going to be healthy to you, to Damon or Stefan, to keep bringing it up or be in these situations like this, like, separate it. And I don't blame him for saying it. I don't, because I 150% agree that it's not fair to him. That's like, yeah, Amanda keeps throwing that in my face. I'm going to hear that for the rest of my life. I'd rather not.
Absolutely not. Right. And the only way that Damon is able to stop is that Stefan actually ends up showing up. So, you know, we find out that, you know, Stefan, you know, does have some sort of feelings for your, you know, either what Elena's going through, or at least, at the very least, Jeremy. So he doesn't want Jeremy to die. So he ends up attacking him, and he takes Damon home to the house. He ends up imprisoning him. And he's like, well, you know, you're going to have to stay in here or don't. Like, I'm just, you know, here. And Elena actually comes home, and Stefan's like, you can't see Damon. So he obviously is having a little bit of an argument with Elena. And she's like, why are you acting like this? And this is the part that you were talking about earlier. He's like, well, you don't know what I look like when I'm not in love with you. And she claims that he's just lashing out at her, which, like, the audacity right now coming from Elena. Because if you said to me, oh, I'm in love with your sister, then I'd be like, you know what? I don't love you anymore. That's fucked up. I don't want to be with you. Thanks for playing. Like, I don't know what else to say.
I love thanks for playing. That is the best, like, line you could have used in that. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. So, like, we obviously see that, like, do I truly believe that, you know, Stefan doesn't love Elena anymore? No. But at the end of the day,
like, this is, like, keep in mind, this is still so fresh. This isn't like weeks have gone by. Like, this just fucking happened.
This is like let him breathe. Day or something. Like
let him breathe. This is getting really messy. And, like, my God. And honestly, though, I will say this, and it isn't just because I like Stefan. I really like the idea, because you see Damon do it a lot in the future. And I'm also going to tell you this in the future, that I love when Damon does it too. And it's not that I dislike Elena, because Elena is my comfort character. And there are moments of hers that I do really like. So it's going to sound like I'm kind of slandering her, but I swear I do like Elena. But I do like when Damon does this too, is when they finally say something that puts her in her spot and gets her to shut the fuck up. Yep. And I'll tell you that when Stefan did this is the first time Stefan really did it. And I loved it. I loved it. I was like, yes, King.
And just, I mean, like, in I the think future, that's exactly what, like, she deserved to hear at that point. Like, she was being annoying. Like, in my opinion, like, I do love her, but
she's hurt them both immensely.
Yeah.
Already. And we're only in season 4, and this is just very yucky. And even in the future, you know, spoiler alert, Damon says these things to her too. And I love it, because I'm like, she doesn't think about what her actions are doing to everybody. It's only about what she's feeling in that moment sometimes, as any normal person does think at times. You know, you're worried about how you're feeling and your emotions and things, and you don't really think about others. But when you really look at the big picture, like, she really has been hurting the both of them for a while now. And at some point, somebody's got to say something and not just take it and take it and take it and take it. And
I mean, Damon has, I feel like, before this, said something to her. This is really the first time we see Stefan saying something to her now. Like,
yes, because this is the thing is, she got to be vocal when Stefan left with Klaus and was a ripper, right? She got to be as vocal and tell him what was up, right? And lay it out and tell her how hurt she was and act like this. And he took it, right? It's his turn right now.
Yeah, exactly. And she really just needed to let him have the floor, and she just needed to chill out, because one, Damon's fine. He just locked up downstairs. You're sired to him, so he can tell you to let him out.
Which is true. And I don't, that's what I'm saying. That's all he would say to her, and she'd do it.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously,
It's not, Stefan's not doing this for a vindictive reason. Yeah. There is actual, very logical reason behind it.
And then we go back over to Bonnie. Now, we know that Bonnie is just a mess right now. And she's talking with her father. And he's like, you know, you need to get some help, girl. Like, something is not right here. Like, your magic is out of control. And Bonnie's like, I'm fine. You're crazy. But, I mean, I really think that we are seeing that Bonnie's magic is out of control. Like, she accidentally linked Shane to April and almost killed her. And we know from The Witch in New Orleans that expression magic can drive people to do very bad things and drive people mad. So at the end of the day, I don't think her dad was wrong. I don't think he went about it in the right way, but I don't think that he was incorrect in what he was saying.
Yes, logically, especially with us being adults, you know, when you look at it that way, he's looking out for his little girl. And I totally support it. I don't think that he's necessarily a bad dad. I wish he was around more. I think that everything he's doing is coming from a good place in his heart. But right now, Bonnie doesn't know who to trust and what to do. Like, she's very all over the place, and she's lashing out as any other teenage girl would towards her father. The, you don't understand this, 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 that, and the other. And I think that really catches up with her later when she really finds out the truth behind everything. And it fucking sucks. But again, it's one of those, like, you have to, like, live and you learn situations, which is really fucking unfortunate. But it all worked out in a way that it needed to. But I do see that her dad is coming from, like, a good place. And I don't want to say I hate his character. He's a random character, but
I didn't hate him. And I did think that he really did care for Bonnie, you know? Like, I didn't think that he was malicious.
He's just doing the typical dad, you hate me, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, I mean, look at the shit she's already done and gotten
involved. And it was out of her control, the things that she did. So if she really meant to do harm to somebody, just imagine what she could do at this point.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so then we're going to go to the part that I know that you want to talk about real quick. So Stefan and Rebecca end up meeting back up. Yeah. Oh,
don't you to all threaten me with a good time.
And Stefan asked Rebecca, like, do you have the headstone? Did you get it? Blah, blah, blah. And instead of answering, she asked if he's over Elena. And she said,
yes. I don't care. She said, I don't care about all this other crap. I'm trying to get the D. I miss the D. It's been a long time. You trying to do it? That's what it was. He said, yes. I said, whoop.
And I do not believe this for a second. Like, he's loved Elena for a couple years at this point.
Gone. I'm convinced he still loved her through the series. Now I'm going to tell you this. It's one of those, like, you're being vengeful. Like, you're trying to react out of anger. You're like, yeah, fuck that bitch. That's what Stefan's thinking, you know?
Exactly. He's like, and I feel like shit. Some part of Rebecca has to know this to be true. Because she can't just honestly think, oh, well, you know, he loved her, but now he doesn't all of a sudden.
That's why I'm thinking, like, how fucked is it to think that this was all Rebecca's little master plan?
Right.
Get him and Elena,
I feel like maybe it was.
Like, she's like, this is done. Why? Because I want to sleep with Stefan. So, bitch, you gotta go.
And they end up, like, hooking up, obviously.
They did. He manhandling, by the way.
Yes.
So when he throws her on the bed, there he's like, he's like whipping her around, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, y'all adventurous. Like,
right. And we've never,
like,
really seen,
I found out Rebecca is flexible. I go, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, he was like manhandling. Like, this was like, and that's the difference, because, like, the two other sex scenes off the top of my head right now that I'm thinking is our first Elena sex scene and our first Elena sex scene. And both of those sex scenes were very, like, sensual, if that makes sense. Like, you know, that's Elena releasing her, like, feelings with them. Like, it was just let out in, like, form of sex. Like, it was.
Now,
like,
I will say real quick, can we talk about the first sex scene whenever that Damon and Elena had? Where she just, like, scratches down his back and there's just, like, blood.
Yeah, I was like, my God.
It's like, okay. And
pop off.
You're right.
Ouch, but pop off.
And I
but
feel like that did show like more passion there at the
it very did least. While yeah. it was very rough and like good yeah. like that and everything, but there was like the kissing, you can see it was sensual, yes. it was slow, it was yes. meaningful, like this was like it, you know, like they're about to finally have sex, like look at like the like it was passion. And with Steph and Rebecca, what passion?
They yeah, there's no passion there.
This is like a nice hate fuck. This is the good fuck. This is this right here. This is where the listeners are going to be like, oh, I don't want to listen anymore because this Sydney girl's weird as fuck. That's the fuck I wanted Kai and Bonnie to have. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. Pop off. But listen, there's just hatred. First of all, Stefan fucking hates this bitch, realistically.
Right.
Honestly, he does. But he's like, yeah, we're about to do this shit. And it was like, this is the first time you saw something rough and you saw something like really different than the sex that you've seen elsewhere on the show. So I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, this is nice. I was like, ooh, shit, I'm here for it. Oh my God. So of course I was thrilled.
Yes. And so while they're doing their little thing, I don't really think you see much of it. It's maybe like a few minutes, but I mean, you can obviously interpret what's about to go down there in a minute. And so then we have Klaus just showing up to the Gilbert house, and this man just needs to get away from these people. And he says, you know, I'm taking Jeremy, which is very reminiscent of him saying, I'm taking Elena. And
yeah, just says, stop, you're not taking, I'm getting sick of right. this, I'm taking so-and-so shit. Like,
no, you're not.
Stop.
But he makes a very valid point. He says, Cole is going to continue to come after Jeremy. If I take Jeremy with me, he'll be protected. And Elena and Jeremy are like, no, Jeremy's not going with you. Thanks, but no. But they do realize that they do need to come up with a plan. And now this is the point where Elena and Jeremy actually decide that they're going to kill Cole. And in my mind, I'm like, Elena and Jeremy are going to kill Cole. Like, I about started laughing because that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life.
And yeah. Okay. Have fun with that. That's going to be an easy one, right?
Okay. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're going to leave off. That's where this episode leaves off, is that they're going to come up with this plan and they're going to kill Cole.
And good luck.
Exactly. Good luck.
That's what I fucking, I swear to God. And honestly, I'll tell you what right now is, while the Michelson siblings all hate each other at some point, because that's just sibling nature.
That's just their thing, right?
You're going to piss off every single Michelson, including Elijah, wherever Elijah is. Is Elijah yeah. from his brother's going to die?
Where's okay, Elijah? So spoiler alert for the future, isn't he in hanging out with Catherine somewhere at this point?
Probably. I don't fucking I don't fucking know what's happening at all. I'm stressed. Like, his brother's about to die and he has no idea. He's just sipping pina coladas. Yeah, just chilling with Catherine or something. It's like, oh, good for you. Everybody else is in mayhem and Elijah's just doing him.
Exactly.
I I just feel like Daniel Gillies was like, I've got other shit to work on that's like not this, so I'm gonna go.
He said, yeah, you know, honestly the storyline getting old, so I gotta dip.
I feel like that's it. He's like, catch you on the flip side, guys.
Side note about Daniel Gillies, it's funny watching him play Elijah and then listening to him actually talk in real life.
I don't understand. I swear to God. And can I tell you, though, that, like, what is this? Like, he doesn't even have, like, an accent as Elijah.
No, not at all.
What is that? What is that? Somebody make it make sense. I don't know. Elijah's a different
breed. We talked about this in a previous episode.
He's a different breed. I don't fucking
get it. Does Cole have an accent? Yeah, a little bit.
He does. Yeah. He's Australian as shit. And so is Claire. And then fucking Joseph Morgan with his British ass.
Right,
that was really bad. I'm so sorry to like any of our like British listeners in the UK. I slaughtered that.
So apparently this episode is just gonna make a lot of people not want to listen to us anymore.
No, we're fun, we're spunky, I swear to God. You know, just to give you guys some insight on us, it is 3 a.m. why are we awake? Because we love you guys. Yes. No. But on that note, obviously we are gonna end it there. They are gonna go make a plan to kill Cole. Stefan and Rebecca had like the hottest sex ever, and I'm just excited to see what is going to happen out of all of this. So we will see you guys again next week. Again, like Alex had said in the beginning, make sure you check out our Instagram and Facebook pages. It's also called It's a Vampire Diaries Thing. And we will hopefully get this merch going up and running here soon for you guys. So we will make sure to give you guys the links and provide you guys with anything you need to check those out when the day comes. So we appreciate your guys' support and you guys listening. Make sure you give us some reviews. Go ahead and hit on our Facebook page when you go to join it. Remember that we do have a post in there in our announcements regarding the podcast, anything you'd like to hear, anything you wish we would talk about, things we could do better, anything of that nature. So just make sure you give us some feedback, some love, tell your friends about us, go ahead, spread the word, and we will catch you guys again next week.
See you next week.